Good morning, Shelbyville Church, and we welcome our Shelbyville listening area. Happy Sabbath to each one of you this morning as you're tuning in. We thank you for doing that. I hope and pray that you receive a blessing today as you listen to this message from the Word of God. As we begin here today, I would invite you, if you are possible for you, to pray with me. Heavenly Father, I pray that today your Holy Spirit would be here. Lead us into truth. Give us understanding and your will for our life. And I pray, Father, that you would forgive us and cleanse us of all sin, and we would be covered with the blood of Jesus that he shed at Calvary for each one of us. And we thank you for Jesus and all he's done for us. Amen. Well, we read for our scripture reading today from John chapter 8, verse 44, where it says, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He's a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Let me just start by saying that I'm not speaking this at you today. I'm speaking to you today about what the devil is like. I want to encourage you today with this message that the devil will do everything he can to destroy you, to destroy your touch with Jesus, to destroy everything in your family, to destroy all of it. But the only way that you can be safeguarded from the attacks of the devil is what God tells us in John chapter 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." You want to know what God's will is for your life? Here it is, the Word of God. You want to know what God wants you to do in your life? Here it is, in the Word of God. God wants you to be with him. There is a war that's going on between Christ and Satan. This has been going on for over 6,000 years now. It's soon to come to a close. And it's Satan's goal to keep everybody in darkness and in unrepentance until probation has come to an end and there's no more sacrifice for sin and sinners. That's the devil's goal. And he wants us all to be deluded, deceived, and kept in the darkness of his lies. Listen, friends, if Satan can get you to neglect prayer and Bible study of God's word, he has overcome you and he is already victorious in your life. You want to endure to the end? That's what God wants for you. And sustaining this ultimate intimate relationship with Jesus Christ is what God is asking for each one of his people to do. Jesus is the only way to be victorious in your life. Thank you for that. That is an absolute truth. And if you've got other priorities in your life and you're too busy to spend time with Jesus, you're too busy. The devil's going to overcome you, friends, unless you fortify your life with the Word of God. Unless you spend time in prayer and studying of God's Word, how could you ever possibly know if the devil is leading you into a deception or a lie? Jesus is the only way for you to be victorious as a Christian. There'll be people who will say things against God's people in those last days. They will misrepresent the motives and the actions of God's people, and they will say things that will cause suspicion in the minds of other people. And everything that the righteous people of God will do, there will be something or somebody that will put in the minds of other people that these people that are righteous before God are doing something deceptive, doing something that is foul and unrighteous. When the accusers of the brethren uses people, and I'm speaking about when the devil that it spoke of here in John chapter 8, verse 44, when this father of lies, this accuser of the brethren, when he will use people who profess to be godly people, people who follow after Jesus, he will use some of those people to slander God's people. And when they do that, you will know whose side they're on. Because Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, "By their words and by their fruit, you will know them." So we can know whose side people are on when they start to do those kind of things, when they participate with the devil in slandering God's people. And friends, no church can grow spiritual. No church can become holy if its members are not seeking for truth as for a treasure. If all you're doing is a cursory little reading, and you're not prayerfully studying the Word of God for truth, you're not going to find it. When you walk through the doors of the church, friends, it just doesn't fall down on top of us and become a part of our life just like that. We need to spend some time with God in prayer and Bible study if we want to know what truth is. And when we fortify our life with the Word of God, we have protection from the devil. The church cannot become holy It cannot rise any higher than its spiritual leaders. So leaders, whether you're in this church or some other church in the community, the church itself can never become any more holy and righteous than what its leaders are. And so for our church to become holy and spiritual, then its leaders must become spiritual and holy. It only makes sense, doesn't it? At least it does to me. And I know my thinking isn't that far off from what the Word of God has to say. We need to be able to study the Word of God for ourselves, and no church can become holy unless its people are. Many people are blinded today. There's a cry for this liberalism everywhere you go. Everybody wants to change the Word of God into something that it isn't. They want to read something into the Word of God that doesn't belong there. They want their way of life, their way of decision-making impressed upon the Word of God, and they want God's Word to tell them something different than what it is. There are some people that even want to rewrite the Bible to fit their lifestyle choices. There are many people who are crying for a gray area. And people want gray areas in their life because they want to do something that's contrary to the will of God, and so they want to feel good about that, so they call everything a gray area. And it gives them the freedom to be able to make any kind of choice, live any kind of decision they want to make. Satan deceives them, and they're blinded to his deceptions. Listen, if God's Word was so confusing, so full of gray areas, so difficult that we couldn't understand it, why did God give it to us to give us a guidance for our life every day? Why did God give us the Bible to be able to guide us down through the end of time so that we could be faithful to God to the very end? How would we know what's coming upon this world if God made us so confusing we can't understand it? God wants us to understand, and he's written the Bible so that any person who will prayerfully study the Word of God can know the truth for themselves. They don't have to come and ask their pastor. They don't have to listen to the teacher. They don't have to go to their church to listen to what their doctrines or creeds are. They can come to the Word of God and have the Holy Spirit disseminate the truth for them. And that's what God wants for every one of us, to know the truth for ourselves. And the reason many people don't know the truth, because they're too lazy to study it for themselves. They want somebody else to do it for them. And that's the reality. And it's time for us to wake up and stand up and be counted for Jesus. Don't you think so? This world's coming to an end, friends. The judgment is in session. And this world is going to come to an end. Where do we stand in the judgment? Are we on God's side or not? And if we are, then we ought to know what God has to say. And we ought to be able, by God's strength, by his grace, by his Spirit, to be able to apply those things in God's Word to our own personal life. Listen, the Pharisees of old during Jesus' day, they studied the Scriptures. But they only studied those Scriptures to substantiate what they already believed. They weren't searching for truth. And if all you study the Scriptures for is to substantiate the beliefs of your church, your doctrine, then you're not really studying the Scriptures. We need to be studying the Scriptures for truth that God has hidden there, like a treasure that's in this gold mine that God has provided. And we need to search it diligently. We have a responsibility to do that. The Bible, the law of God, is often set aside for human speculation, and churches are in bondage while they claim to be free whenever they set the Bible aside. There's all kinds of things happening in churches today that call themselves Christian. They have taken the Word of God, they've maligned it, they've twisted it, they've taken it out of context, they've thrown it out of their church, and they're willing to have philosophy and every kind of other belief that's contrary to the Word of God as a part of their doctrine in their church. Listen, friends, we need to stand firmly on the Word of God. This is the only hope that you and I have for these last days, is to be connected to Jesus. And if we're not studying the Word of God, we don't have that intimate relationship that we need with him. It's not enough to call ourselves a Christian or to have ourselves connected to a certain doctrine or some certain church. We have to be connected to Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that? And the only way we can do that is to spend time with him, to accept him as our personal Savior, come to him, confessing our sin to him, recognizing our need of Jesus as our Savior. We have to have this relationship with Christ, and it comes through prayer and Bible study and the testimony of Christ. We need that in our life. Those who are not willing to accept these plain, cutting truths of the Bible, they're constantly searching for some pleasing fable to quiet their conscience. And the more liberal, the less spiritual, the less self-denying, and the less humiliating the teaching, the better it's accepted. And you can see that everywhere, where people were preaching on the TV or on the radio, and they're calling for everything else but what God's Word calls for. It's time for us to get back to the Word of God. It's time for us to believe the truths that God has put there and to quit trying to twist it into something that we want it to be. It's time for us to rely upon God. The Church of Rome gained power over its people by the traditions of the fathers and by the distorting and the hiding of the truth of God. Protestants are following this same pathway by rejecting truths of the Word of God for convenience and policy. Every kind of error and lie will be accepted by those who neglect and reject the truth. I want you to look at this in the New Testament, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and beginning at verse number 10. It says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." It is important for us to make a decision for Jesus. It's important for us to know what His will is for our life. It's important. It's a part of our worship, friends, for us to be obedient to God. Do you agree with that? That's a part of our worship to who God is as the creator of this universe and the creator of us. For us not only to say praises to Him, to sing songs to Him, to give money to support His ministry, it's important for us to live an obedient life to Jesus Christ and His will for our life. That's all a part of our worship. And God has called for His people in these last days. If they're going to endure to the very end, then they need to be obedient to the Word of God. Many times down through the Reformation, for 1,260 years, God's people cried sola scriptura, the Bible and the Bible only. And yet, many of the Protestants have strayed away from the Word of God. And they believe something totally contrary to what the Word teaches. This is the devil's goal, so that everyone will be lost. The truth will not only set us free, friends, it will protect us from the deceptions and the lies of the devil. And we need to be spending time in God's Word. We need to protect ourselves. We need to be on guard. We need to be able to accept the truth for ourselves. Look at this here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse number 18. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse number 18, it says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Listen, friends, the more you look at Jesus, the more you become like Him. That's good news, isn't it? The more we understand who Jesus is, the testimony of Jesus Christ in the Word of God, the more we understand that and read it and apply it to ourselves and assimilate it in our daily walk with Jesus, the more we look like Jesus. That's what God wants for us. That's why by beholding Him, you and I become changed. That's the goal that heaven has for each one of us. I want to take you back to the Old Testament in Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 7. "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." That's important. As you think in your heart, so are you. Our thoughts lead us to actions. The actions determine who we are. And by your fruits, the world will know you. Isn't that true? That's what Jesus said. So as a person thinks in their heart, that's who they really are. And in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, there are a lot of people that want to be able to live their life the way they want. They want to make their own decisions. And God honors those decisions. Listen, whether we put ourselves on the side of Jesus or on some other side, on the side of the devil, hey, whatever decision we make, God will honor that. Now, God's not happy with a lot of the things we choose to do, a lot of the actions that we perform, but God honors that, so that whatever we do choose, God says, well, okay, that's what you want, that's what you get. God honors that. Makes sense, doesn't it? I think that's true. God has given us the freedom of choice to either choose Him or choose something else. And God is calling for us to choose Him today. He's calling to us to be able to follow him. And in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, it says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Yeah, we can make a lot of choices. They might seem right to us, but sometimes those choices lead us down a path to destruction. They're not always the way God wants us to go. We have to be careful about the choices we make. Satan wants more than anything else to destroy your faith, your trust in God and in his word. In the years that I've been a pastor, there have been times when we have spoken about how at the 1,260 years of persecution were to come to an end. And in 1798, that prophecy came to an end. But as it was nearing the close of time there for the end of that persecution, that great tribulation, there were things that were happening in heaven like the great Lisbon, and on earth like the great Lisbon earthquake. We also saw the dark day of May 19, 1780. And then we saw later the falling of the stars. Well, on May 19, 1780, the dark day was prophesied by many, many scriptures in the Bible. We think of Joel chapter 2. It talked about that dark day. We think of Acts chapter 2. It talked about that dark day. We also see in Revelation chapter 6 that it talked about the dark day. It talked about the Lisbon earthquake. It talked about the falling of the stars. And in Isaiah chapter 13, it talks about that dark day as well. In Matthew chapter 24, it talked about the dark day. But you know, I've heard people say, well, that dark day was probably just a forest fire over on the East Coast. There's skeptics everywhere. There's people that want to always have some other word besides what the Word of God. Listen, these are prophecies that God said were going to happen before he was returning. This told us that that time of trouble was coming to an end and the judgment was to begin. It's telling us that something significant in heaven and earth is about to transpire. And in May 19, 1780, I've read a lot of documents about what happened during that time of that dark day and the blood moon that happened that evening. And not in one instance do I ever see in anything that's been written in history that there was a place that was so full of smoke that they could hardly breathe. Not once did they ever mention that there was ashes falling down out of heaven on them like it was a volcano. Not one mention of that. And people say that because they don't want to accept the Word of God. And God has predicted in the Old and New Testament alike that these things would happen. They're something that only God could produce. They're fulfillment of prophecy to let us know the time is near. The time of the end is coming. Judgment is beginning. And that Jesus is soon to return. He gives those signs in heaven and earth so that you and I can be ready for the return of Jesus. He doesn't want us to miss it for anything. But the devil, on the other hand, would like us to be deceived. He wants us to miss out on heaven. He does not want us to know the truth. There are some people who act as the devil's advocate. And every time truth is presented, they have a contradictory statement of unbelief, of skepticism, of infidelity, which is prompted by confidence and pride in themselves. Some just like to have a controversy. Every time you say one thing, they want to say something else. You say the sky is blue, they say, no, it's black. No matter what you talk about, they always got something opposing that. They don't realize that they're being captured at the will of the devil as a roaring lion who captures his prey. They're aligning with the ungodly, and they're closing the gates of paradise to themselves. And friends, we need to be careful what we believe. We need to be careful about what we do in our life. The devil is slippery. You've heard me say it many times before, and you've experienced it in your own life. The devil is slippery, and he will lead us into deceptions and lies, and oftentimes we don't even recognize until it's too late that he's captured us. If we want truth, if we really desire to know the truth for ourselves, and we seek it as a hidden treasure, no matter what the effort, no matter what it costs us, no matter how much effort and time we have to put into it, Satan cannot hold us under his power. What? There's no amen to that? I would have thought somebody would have been jubilant over that. that if we were spending time with God seeking for truth as a hidden treasure, we have protection from the devil and all of his lies and deceptions and attacks. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. If you have your scriptures, you might want to follow along as I'm reading this today. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 says, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Excuse me. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." That's Jesus speaking in these words. And he's saying to us, we need to be able to prayerfully seek for the truth ourselves from God's word. And when we do that, God will open the truth to each one of us. That's God's desire for you. And he wants you to know the truth for yourself, friend. Nobody can explain that truth to you any better than what God's Holy Spirit can. All of those who live godly are going to suffer persecution. That's what 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says. Everybody who tries to live a godly life, at some point in their time, the devil's going to arrange things so that you suffer difficult times. There's going to be temptations. There'll be trials. They'll be allowed by God, not because he wants you to be under distress, but because he uses these things to bring you into a situation where you have to pray, where you have to diligently study the word of God for truth. God had used those situations to be able to bring us to a place where we can be victorious over all of the lies and the deceptions of the devil. If we come into these places of persecution and temptation and trial, and we just throw up our hands and say, "I give up," how have we accomplished anything? Have we endured to the end? No. We need to be on our knees praying that God will reveal to us the truth of his word and give us that victory and strength that you and I both need. Because of the process of trials, this is this object that God has prepared for us to satisfy us, to give us that victory in our life over the devil. We can resist the devil. We can resist his temptations. We can be victorious, and we can be by faith believing in the promises of God. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Zechariah 4:6 says, "It's not by might or by power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord." That's what you and I need more than anything else in these days, friends, is the Spirit of God living inside of each one of us. Beholding Jesus, we become changed. We need the Spirit of God to reveal to us exactly what God's testimony is for each one of us. As long as we're faithful, as long as we're loyal to God, and we are steadfast in our obedience to God's law, there is no power in earth or in hell that can overcome us. Do you believe that? Listen, friends, that's what's needed in these last days. If you want to endure to the end, you need to be obedient to God and to his word. And when we're obedient to God, when we have Jesus Christ living in us through his Holy Spirit, the devil cannot overcome you. There is no power in earth or in hell that can cause you to fall. Cling to Jesus, friends. In these last days, that's your only hope. It's holding on to Jesus Christ with both hands. Listen, the Bible pictures Jesus holding us in his hand. And the devil cannot snatch us out of Jesus' hand. The only way we can fall out of Jesus' hand is if we choose to do that. If we choose to get out of Jesus' hand. Well, we have no safety and security. But when we're with Jesus, friends, the devil cannot overcome us. Satan knows that as long as we stay connected to Christ, the weakest child of God can be victorious over all of the assaults that the devil brings before us. No one is safe for a moment without Bible study or prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this, "There hath no temptation taken you such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." And listen to this other text. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse number 7. "And lest I should be exalted above the measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Listen, friends, when the devil is putting the pressure on you, when he's doing everything he can to deceive you, when he wants to lead you into a lie and to turn against Jesus Christ, remember this, that at your weakest moment, when you don't think you can hold on any longer, when you don't think you can be taking the persecution and the lies and the temptations the devil puts before you, remember this, in your weakest hour, you can be as strong as heaven because Christ lives in you. And we can overcome the devil through Jesus Christ in each one of us. May we stay strong. May we stay faithful. May we be obedient to the very end.